I hope you had a great week this far, and you had a great weekend last weekend. Amen? We had a great time, and I pray that you've been thinking and praying and moving forward and asking God to walk with you and help you to be the best you can be. Today I want to talk about becoming liquid in Christ, moving forward with Sunday's message, just building on that, because there are different types of liquids. You can be water, and that's nimble. It's wax quick. It's quick. I mean, it's easy to deal with. But you can also be grit. It's hard to deal with that. It doesn't move that quickly. Or milkshake, when it's stuck, when you're trying to use your straw and it's not coming up, that can be a nightmare as well. And I think that this different liquids describe who we may be in Christ, that we struggle with different things. There are many needs that we need to come to. I mean, you see that some announcements coming out, and you got to ask yourself, are we eager to get involved with Kids Kingdom? Are we eager to get involved with ushering? All that is part of liquid in Christ, really wanting to be involved with the body of Christ. Does that make sense? And so today, as I discuss this, I'd like us to continue talking about it a little bit and ask us some questions moving forward. I believe one of the biggest things we have to do is to overcome our worldly mindsets. Why do you think that's so? Why should we overcome our worldly mindsets? I thought we're Christians. Why should we work on overcoming worldly mindsets? That's the question. That's the question. Yes.
Because God continues to transform our minds.
God continues to transform our... Okay, continuous process. Yes, Ron?
You come in to the kingdom from the world. So that's something we need our minds and our bodies. We have to do. And if you come struggle with the fight against that.
You come in from the world, and that stuff is in you, and it's, you have to keep dealing with it, yeah. Getting rid of it. Yes, Chloe.
I think for me, it took a long time to be able to accept who I was and like who I was and get used to who I was. And so once you get really comfortable and just learning how to accept who you are, it's hard to
It took her a long time to accept who she was, to get comfortable with who really she was, because that's when you begin to change, really. Until you have not done that, you haven't started the change. Change will not happen until you accepted the real person that is getting in the way of Christ's workings. That's when change happens. There's a hand going up somewhere. Yes. There's a lot of worldly influence from media, from coworkers. So if you think about it, you go out in the world every day, you come to church on Sunday and on Wednesday, and maybe you have other connections. But if you do the hourly connections to the world, you have way more connection to the world than you have to the Christian life. And you have to do a battle every day to keep sane, because you're of Christ, but you live in the world. And you keep being barraged with this mindset at work, at home, in the neighborhoods. Different things are happening to you. So if we don't work at it, we cannot overcome this worldliness. So we cannot set that. So the Bible says here, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God, because of all he has done for you. That's all from chapter 1 all the way to 11. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. I mean, if you think about a sacrifice in the Old Testament, it's a dead animal. But this is not just the sacrifice of, okay, I'm doing this because I'm a Christian. It's the transformation of, you know what, I'm dying to self because I appreciate so much what Jesus has done for me. And then he says here that don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person. By changing the way you think, then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. I mean, let's talk about copying the world. The world is powerful. We can find ourselves imitating the world way more than we want to. It tells us how to behave, and we tend to copy that world. It says, no, don't copy that world. Die to self. So as we are changing and saying we want to win the world for Christ, and we want to help people to become more like Jesus Christ, and we want to become a diverse congregation, a multi-generational, multi-race, and all that, it means that we have to overcome our worldly perceptions of how we see all these issues that the world screams about. And if you don't pay attention to God, you may not hear God at all. It may be too loud to hear God. And you have to let go of that. So, here's what we have to do this. Books are written for information. The Word of God is given, for transformation. We need to begin to look at, yes, I've been a Christian a long time, but for how much am I doing transformation with the Word of God? Because it's not just information. And it's easy to fall in the trap of Sunday I come and hear a message. It's a great message. I'm inspired. Then I leave. What next? When as I get hear the message, I'm inspired. What next? You can have these cycles of inspiration, but not transformation. So we have to be careful that we're not falling into that cycle of inspiration and no transformation. We have to start transformation. It's not just information. We live in a world of information. I know that. I've done that. Been there, done that. That's not the issue. It's how different are you? How much, what change is happening in your home, in your life, as you live today? This is, I think, the biggest trap that the devil uses. Gives us a lot of information, biblical-wise, but no change is happening. And we sit around thinking, yeah, we're doing well. No, it's transformation that you're looking for, not just information. It says, when we spend time praying, reading God's word, and living in the Spirit, our thinking begins to change. Choose one character trait that needs to change in your life. What do you think if we went after our character things? What would happen? What would happen if you started attacking some of your character issues? That's the question. You probably wouldn't like it because it's challenging to deal with character issues. You deal with difficult issues about who you really are, and you see yourself, and sometimes it's just, we prefer to leave it as it is right now. But to go to another place, we have to deal with character issues. So, yeah, but we have to take it on. And you have the privacy of God and walking with that, and you can really see change happening. And if you have a friend that you have a good relationship with and you're talking through these things, you'll see that change begin to happen. It takes a bit of time, but you got to stick with it and deal with your character stuff. Anybody else? Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Initially, it's very prominent as you start on it, and eventually starts changing because it gets less and less stronger on you. But have you noticed how when you have this character issue, you don't want to focus on it, and you have a way of rationalizing and getting away from it? I'm okay. I've done well this far. Why should I walk on it? I'm not dead. What are you talking about? I'm fine. The devil likes that conversation because you don't grow. Any other answer on that? Yes.
I think that it'll start to show other character traits that you need to work on.
Yeah.
It'll change, though, because if you see that I can overcome this and I can overcome the other things that I have.
Yeah, one victory leads you to see I can overcome other issues. I think for us to really build, to really let God work in our hearts and develop what he wants us to have here in Gwinnett, we've got to work on our character. And really let God work on your character. That's what it means to be liquid in Christ, that you're really transforming, you're being different. And some of these things take a longer time, but you'll wake up one day and realize, I'm different. I'm no longer the same guy that used to be, all this negative and all that, the way I see society. I have changed a lot. I see society as a great place. I can reach out to people. Why? Because I've changed the way I think about different things. So we have to begin examining that. So look at one of those things and see, what do I need to do, and start focusing on that and see how different that changes. If you're married, look at something you can do together. If you're single, look at something you can do it with a friend and see how that can change. And it'll help us develop this growth as a church that's growing both culturally and in other areas we're trying to build. Now, so it starts by you transforming and being different. But you can't transform by just being in the Word, by getting information. You have to be transformed. As it takes something you're working on. So hopefully you start going in that direction. But let's go further here. To do that, you have to take personal responsibility and be the change. Because when you think about it, it's easier to tell, to explain why the place is bad by pointing us to someone else, right? But if you think, for us to build what God wants us, this church to be, does it depend on leaders alone? Everybody must get involved. You understand that? To change this place, everybody must get involved. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. I mean, Jesus stands up and goes back to Nazareth and begins to say this in the synagogue. He went as a young child and begins to read that very scripture and says, it's on me. And when he's done reading, he says, this is me. Who's going to take this responsibility to make it happen? And the people are shocked. We'll get to that for a moment. But the point is that he understood that it was upon him to take the gospel out. He says it's anointed by the Spirit. You know, at the point of baptism, you're all anointed. You receive the indwelling Holy Spirit. It's a calling for you to spread God's word, for you to be a different person, to walk away from your wilderness, to come towards God. And so he's anointed. He says, I'm here to bring peace, to bring help, to bring blessing, to help the world literally change. How can we help the world change if we're not changing? Is that possible? It's not possible. So you can see that it all starts with us taking responsibility and saying, how am I being different? Now, that's always a hard thing. It's always a hard thing, at least for me. On a week-to-week basis, there are things I feel like I've overcome that, then it happens. I'm like, oh my goodness, here we go again. I need to work on this one. And he's saying we have to take responsibility to take change. Let me ask you a question. Why do you think you're stuck spiritually? Why do you think you're stuck spiritually? That's the question.
I know every time I find myself stuck, it's because I'm focused on me and what I want, and things aren't going the way that I would like them to, and it's about me, and I take the focus off God.
When you are self-focused instead of God, you get stuck spiritually.
I know a lot of times when I find myself stuck, it's because I haven't learned from what God had put me through before.
Yeah.
It's a lot of past thoughts, feelings, hurts, and I never dealt with them. And as they keep coming up again, I get stuck because sometimes I just don't want to deal with them, or sometimes I don't know how to deal with them, or sometimes, you know, I just feel like, you know, let me just push it back. So.
Past things that we've gone through, we don't want to deal with them. It keeps coming up. We're not learning from it. It'll keep getting in the way until we learn from God and what God is trying to teach us. Yes?
I think I get stuck with trying to see what's fair and what's not fair. And in turn, it becomes flesh and blood rather than...
Wow. We get stuck when we're caught in fair and what's not fair. So it becomes flesh and blood. It's not about God. It's always somebody else's fault. And sometimes it's somebody else's fault, but you still can be godly in that faultness of the other person. You don't have to just throw it up and become ungodly. Yes, it's someone else's fault, but you can be godly. Yeah, it is true. It's their fault. But can you be godly as you go forward? Yes. Resisting the pain of change. You can talk about that. Change has some pain, right? I mean, when you're changing, there's just pain. And you're like, can we just change without pain? Can we just slide in and there's no change? It doesn't happen like that. That changes God rewalking our hearts, rewalking our attitudes, rewalking our minds. We are broken, so we need some rewalking to be brought back to a fullness of God. Amen? And that is the pain you have to go through as you're changing. Yes?
Getting stuck when I try to change myself and I'm not really connecting with God and praying for Him to change.
Getting stuck when we're trying to change ourselves and not connecting with God. Let's get this right. Sometimes you know all the theories, but your heart is not changing. So you apply the knowledge. It says, if I just copy what they're doing, I can get it right. Oh, no. You'll get frustrated like nobody's business. The heart needs to change. It's not just copying. We cannot just copy and say it'll be fine. No, we have to change our hearts to come to a place where God really wants us to get so that we can be what He wants us to be. In Luke 4:20-22, it says, He rolled up the scroll, handed it back to the attendant, and sat down. All eyes in the synagogue looked at Him intently. Then He began to speak to them. The scripture you have just heard has been fulfilled this very day. Everyone spoke well of Him and was amazed by the gracious words that came from His lips. How can this be? Follow this. They were happy until that point, until they said, how can this be? And what happens? They ask, isn't this Joseph's son? What's happening? What's happening? Speak to me. What's happening? Look at how it starts. They're very excited. Everything's going great. And then, how can this be? Isn't this the son of Joseph? What's happening? Yes. Jesus disrupted the status quo. Totally. It's not going to be the same again. What else?
They started looking at man opposed to God.
They? Say that again.
Yeah, they started looking at man opposed to God.
They were looking at man instead of as opposed to God. What else was happening?
They appreciated what he was saying, but then they went back to the way he is.
That's what was going on there. They appreciated what he was saying, but we know who he is. And so they're focusing on man instead of God, and they started losing their heart for God. And I think, church, this happens to us a lot. Sometimes we can get so familiar with each other that when we're making changes, instead of focusing on God, we focus on each other. Well, you know, I know Julie. Well, what's she going to tell me? Wait a minute. She's making a change. I need to keep making change because of God, not because I know her, and she hasn't changed a thing. So when we start doing that with each other, comparing ourselves with one another, no change takes root in the congregation because we are still looking at each other. So this instead of the standard being God, it's, I know Joseph, that's his son. What is he going to say? And we stop growing because now we feel like, I'm okay because she's okay, I'm okay. Why? We are here. When did I become the standard? When did you become the standard? They began to devalue what he was saying. Then he said, you will, we'll talk about this. So before we come to that, so basically what they start there is focusing on man more than focusing on God and not seeing what needs to happen. And this is what happens. Dullness of heart misses miracle. That begins to happen. As you focus on man, you become way dull. You're not awake to the spiritual way of doing things. You begin to really being very dull in what's happening. Jesus was being fulfilled right in their fulfillment. The Messiah was right there, anointed by the Spirit, in front of them. This is a historical event, but they don't seem to grasp it. Instead, they say, you know what? This guy, first they're amazed, then, oh no, this guy's Joseph's son? What are you talking about? Do you realize that we miss a lot of miracles from God because of how we look at people? So there was a policeman. He was in a SWAT team in Kansas. And he grew up in a pretty dysfunctional family. Really dysfunctional. As in beatings, schizophrenic, alcoholic. And at the time he became 10, he tried to stand up when his dad was beating his mother. And his mother realized his dad was going to kill him, and he called the only other person the dad feared was his mother's brother, that is his uncle, who came and said, "You know what? If you wake up from that chair, that'll be the last thing you do." And that's when that particular SWAT team member was taken away from, that's how he remembers his childhood. He was taken away from that home, never saw his father again. So from that family, from that kind of family, he's a policeman. And as he did so many things, there were so many complaints. But what changed him? He had an encounter with his son. He was talking to his son, and his son says, "Dad, you never listen." And he told his son, "You tell me, try me, or why do you think I will not listen?" And the son told him, "Dad, you're a robot." And what that meant to him was, he beats people up, he does everything on a system, he doesn't care about how you feel, or doesn't consider you as anything, he just does things. On that particular day when he had that interaction with his son, he began to ask himself questions. How did I become like this? That change, that question changed his team, of the SWAT team, from having a complaint every month to no complaint in 6 months. What happened? What happened? He didn't miss the miracle of a young child telling him, "Dad, you don't listen to me. You're like a robot. You just do things. You don't feel for anyone." That's what changed him, because he realized, "I didn't feel anything. But now that my son is growing up, I need to feel something for this child." And that changed everything around him. What's my point? Every day, God is saying things to you. You're waiting for extraordinary stuff. Maybe you're waiting for the ocean to be parted. No, God is talking to you every day in very small things. And you're not paying attention, and you're feeling spiritually dull, spiritually not in a place of vibrance, and not able to connect to some of the things that God is doing, because you've lost that simplicity of heart. You've lost that naivety, if you wish, of connecting with God, and become very complex. And you may need to have some hard conversations with your children, if you have some, or people in the streets. Then he said, "You will undoubtedly quote me in this proverb, 'Physician, heal thyself,' meaning do miracles here in your hometown like those you did in Capernaum. But I tell you the truth, no prophet is accepted in his own hometown. Suddenly, there were many needy widows in Israel in Elijah's time, when the heavens were closed for 3.5 years and a severe famine devastated the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them. He was sent instead to a foreigner, a widow of Zarephath, in the land of Sidon. And there were many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet of Elijah, but the only one healed was Naaman, a Syrian." How is that? How can you be before such great people and miss it all? We've had tons of messages this far. How can we miss the change that God is doing among us? How does that happen? How does that happen? How do we get so dull to miracles? Do you understand the miracle of even getting here? The fact that you got in your car in Atlanta and the way cars get hit, and you get here. Every day you're in and out of that traffic. Do you realize that's a miracle? Yeah, some of you have gotten some dings and back and hit rear ends and all that stuff, but you are alive, you're here. You're here. Do you understand that miracle, that daily miracle? The idea that you can go to a semi-coma, sleep, and wake up. Like you're going to go tonight and just shut off the light and say, I'm going to sleep, see you tomorrow, and wake up. That's a miracle. Brothers and sisters, do you understand what God does in your life every day? Or are we getting dull because of the challenges of life? Life is challenges, I know that. You can get dull because of just life is throwing things at you. The miracles every day. Do you understand the fact that you talk to someone about God and they come to God? It's a miracle. Why did you align yourself like that? What happened? It's a miracle they become Christians. You know, it's possible that you have let life beat you down and you've lost your connection to God. That you read the Bible, but it doesn't speak life to your soul. It's a drudgery moment, a time to read and to leave. Not, oh my goodness, that was an awesome time. I feel uplifted and God is doing something. They missed that. Dullness of heart. We've got to ask ourselves those questions. Where do you sit in this area of just the heart being stirred? When is the last time you felt like, God, you got to do something? That takes a connection with God. You can't psych yourself into that. You've got to have a connection with God. You'll find yourself talking to people. You'll find yourself changing. You'll find yourself growing. You'll find yourself doing different things again. That's how everything changes. You will not do that if you're not seeing what God is putting in front of you. Everybody looks so far, but the miracles are right here. The miracles are right here. We're all looking, well, maybe the miracle is outside the gate. Oh, the miracle is right in this room. You know how it is, we always look for solutions outside. Well, the solution is right in there. Even sometimes we're troubled in your heart, the miracle is trust God to sort you out. This happened to these people. How do we get there? Because we become desensitized to what God is doing right now in our lives. And can I tell you something, church? We live in America. It's a wealthy place, but it's also a master of making you spiritually dull. Materialism can make you spiritually dull. Oh, busyness. This place gets busy. That'll make you spiritually dull. Because you don't catch your breath to reflect and say, God, what are you doing? You're on the go, 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 go. Before you know it, you're operating. You're like, what? Which day is it? Which month is it? Oh, the year's finished. The lights are out. Oh, Christmas is here. And you cannot put a... You can choose to put a pause on your life a little bit. You know the pause button? Yeah, press that once in a while in your life. Give that pause a little bit. Stand back and see what God is doing. Don't just run with it. And that's where we've got to understand as we now pivot ourselves with multi-race, multicultural, and all that. We've got to be sensitive to what God is doing around us and be that change ourselves and really walk with everyone. Does that make sense? Familiarity with the evil breeds not contempt, but acceptance. What will you not tolerate in your heart? That's the question. What will you not tolerate in your heart? Familiarity with evil breeds not contempt, but acceptance. It's very easy to get used to a lifestyle that just accepts anything goes. Before you know it, it's just... you can call them Christian sins, and just that this are Christianized. God understands, and somehow we can get away with it. Sins of the heart, prejudices, resentment, put downs, ones up, and all that stuff can get in the heart and just stay there for a long time. Question, what will you not tolerate in your heart? That's the question. It's a hard one. Eh? Deceit. Just say, I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to tolerate it. Okay? The answer depends where you are spiritual. That's correct.
For me recently, it's been negative self-talk. Like, I won't even let myself say, oh, man, that was a foolish thing to do. Like, you know what? I made a mistake. This is what I'll do better. Like, I have to retrain the way I talk about myself.
Exactly. Retrain about how she talks to herself. Instead of, that's foolish, that's that, this is, no, I'll be different. I made a mistake, I can change. So that's not guilt putting yourself down, but hey, conviction. We can turn this around. Yes. So you'll not allow yourself to get a point of hatred. That's just something you not do. There we go. Because that is one that can sit with us for a long time and consume us. When, say that again. Yes. When we see our own sins in other people's, then it reflects back at us. Yeah. What will you not entertain? Yes.
For me, I will not tolerate conditional love.
Conditional love. You'll love anyway. Yes.
Say, we, whatever it is, we justify it. Right? Whatever we're, you know, for me, it's anger a lot of times. But I justify it. You know, it's like, well, I have a right to be angry, or they did this, or, and that's, you know, when I'm justifying it, then I can't see it as something I need to change or get rid of.
That's true. Justification. Anybody else? Yes. Say that again.
Being judgmental.
Oh, that comes easy. We all do it. She just spoke for everyone. We do that a lot. We can do that easy. You don't want to tolerate that. Try and understand. Yes.
Envy and also being unforgiving. Something I would not like to tolerate.
Yeah. Envy and being unforgiving. If you share that, doesn't mean you're struggling with it. I think sometimes we get too afraid about this stuff. But let's talk about envy. Let's face it. It's a big struggle of the world, and it comes into the church. It's a big struggle. Okay, let me play around a little bit. For some reason, today, Steve, you came here with a Ferrari. With a loud exhaust pipe. You made sure we knew what was going on. You hit it pretty hard. Boom! I don't know how it'll play on you. You understand that? Let's switch the feet and say, okay, now Steve doesn't have the car. Instead, you have the car. See? We struggle with these things. I mean, it depends on the values you carry. Some of us has houses. If it's bigger, oh my goodness, how do you get that house? If it's smaller, no problem. If it's you, God bless me. Somebody else, whoa, hold on. What's going on? Am I making sense here? It's there. Envy is there. It's a big thing. It controls us. We don't do a good job. The reason I'm saying this is that if you don't get yourself to this point of I will not tolerate it, you keep rationalizing. You keep playing the games with it. You have to come to a place of, we're done here. This conversation we're having a breakup with you, and it's not a long one, we're done. I'm not going to have conversation with you from this point on. No long breakups. No, maybe we got to, let's see how it works out. No. We're done now. That is why you have to make that decision. Well, yes, we are a family. We keep rolling on that one. So way forward. We did some discussion on Sunday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and I've said a lot of things today. I was trying to say we got to get ready to keep going. We cannot be people that just started or stopped, but here's something we can do going forward. This is in your family groups, in your own. Next week, we're having family group in house church. You know that, right? Next week, house church. So we're having family group in house church. So there's some discussions you can have. You can do safe people. They can do Bible studies. But these are some discussions we can have together. So this is just to keep going. We're not going to. This is something you have to keep doing as you go forward in your life. And we'll keep preaching different things. But how can we make sure that the discussion is ongoing and we're working in our family groups? One is, what is your meta-narrative and how does it affect your view of the kingdom? Now, probably there are things in your heart that are holding you back in truly engaging in the kingdom of God. Instead of seeing the kingdom of God, you may be seeing too much color issues, and you got to be the change. Everything I talked about today was, you have to be the change that you're looking for. Does that make sense? We cannot, a house divided cannot stand. We cannot start fighting each other. We've got to become that change we're looking for. So let's have some conversations. Let's just get to know each other. So how did you grow up? What's your life? How was your life like? But let me be honest with you. Some of us are afraid to be vulnerable. You think that the more people know you, the more they'll take you for granted. No, you need to be secure in yourself and say, you know what? I grew up like this. Because you're socialized to think that if people know about you, they can control you. How? You're not rich. How will they control you? I don't care how much you know about me. You cannot control what I got to do. God's going to walk with that. But we're so afraid to be known. Some of us are only known by our first names. We don't even know where you live. We don't know where you live. Can you get us to come where you live? We have invite people to where you live. What will they think? That God will deal with that. There's a scripture in that direction. Does that make sense? Invite people. Come or invite yourself to other people's places and get to see it and have a good time. So discussion, meta-narratives. What do you have in your life that affects you? Sometimes we are afraid of being seen. You mean that's how you grew up? We all have a history. And you want to know the truth? We have a good history and a bad history. If anybody gives you just a good history, they're not telling you the whole story. Yeah, that is 101 conversation. Everybody has a history, a good history and a bad history. You got to know and keep going. And if you're judgmental, you miss the boat. It's understanding, getting to know the person, not putting them in a box, because they're changing. They're hearing the word of God. They're transforming. They're becoming different. Does that make sense? So what cultural aspects shaped you when growing up? What are your cultural aspects? What do we mean by cultural aspects? It could be how did your house run? Who was the most influential person in your life? These are conversations we could have. You know, sometimes people are afraid of small talk. They only want to talk big business and shut and run. But we got to get a little bit, oh, so I grew up like this. This is what's going on. And we get to understand each other. And don't get tempted to put people in a box and say, this is who they are. No, that's somebody's life. And that is what God allowed them to go through. And now you can understand. And you can be compassionate and loving and caring and walk through conversations. Cultural aspects, there are many. There are many. How was your mom treated? How was your dad treated? How were you treated? Maybe you moved from house to house. That affects you. That affects how you see the kingdom today. That is what we got to change. That. But what does the Bible say? And come to the biblical point of it, right? And we can talk about that and say, you know, sometimes you're doing more culture than Jesus here. Does that make sense? So we got to start changing and having a Jesus Christ culture, not any other culture. This is a conversation we can have. What do you identify yourself with? Christ or culture? What do you identify yourself with? Christ culture or your culture? For me, this came to a head, I think it was 2015 there, and I was talking to someone, and he asked me, why do you want to move before I came here? And he said, you're African. And I said to him, you know, I've never thought of myself as an African. I've thought of myself as a disciple. I said, if you open that road, I got channels to go to. See, if you open that road, I have a clan I belong to. I have a family I belong to. I become very narrow. Very narrow. I say, okay, I belong to this clan. I belong to this family. And I don't see you. I say, I cannot open that road. Let's stay with this road of Jesus Christ. I said, don't open that road to me, because then there's so many identities. And I think that if we open that road to ourselves of how we see ourselves and don't see ourselves as Jesus Christ, that it came to a head because I said to myself, I'm a disciple first. And I really thought, who am I? I'm a disciple first. Who are you? Who do you belong to? We call each other brother, sister. We really mean that. See, we need to take this seriously about building the family of God. Go ahead.
Let me interrupt you. I've been thinking a lot about this weekend and different things that were said, and it's occurred to me that everything that's said, you know, reverses, right? So when Michael was like challenging us, you know, we have to leave certain aspects of our culture behind, right? Our baggage.
Yeah.
Well, that's not just the other guy has to do that. That's me.
Yeah.
I mean, when he says, and yet there are some things where we still celebrate our culture, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's not just mine. That's the other guy's too.
Yeah.
You know, if we're going to be focusing more on Christ, focusing more on our unity, you know, these things cut both ways. They can't just always be, you know, the other guy's got to leave his bag to the door and we get to celebrate my culture. You know, it always reverses.
Yeah. Both ways. We all have to do something both ways. If you don't come to a head to these issues, what happens is that you may be subconsciously living your culture as the main one and Christ as the second one. No, it should be Christ is the main culture and we can celebrate others. We're not throwing away, they're not all negative, but we've got to have Christ as the main culture. Does that make sense? And we can celebrate that and do it together. So here's a way forward. We can start having these conversations, building and going forward. And making sure that these conversations are good. And I want to challenge you to have people who are not like you in your life. In your life. Reach out to people like that. Invite them in your home. Get to know them. Visit. Let's see what happens. Let's really have good conversations. Now, I'm not saying you throw away your old friends. I'm not saying that. Keep your old friends. But reach out and say, hey, let me see someone who doesn't look like me. Let's have some good conversation. Does that make sense? So I'm not asking you to throw away old friends. I'm just saying, reach out to new people. And I want to challenge us as a church. Sometimes after church, we always go to the same people, especially on Sundays. There are people that are visiting. Reach out to those people. If you see a new face, talk to that person. Reach out to them. Don't just keep to your same old guys. Now, keep up with your same old guys, but reach out to the new guy. I'm not trying to make it illegal to talk to a guy you like. That's not what I'm trying to say. But there are new people that you got to reach out to and bring them in the circle and say, hey, here's some old buddies of mine. By the way, come and meet these guys. We've got to do a good job with that. Does that make sense? And if you're visiting, we may say a lot of hellos to you and introduce ourselves. We're just a loving church. I pray that we can really grow in that area, reaching out, inviting people. Don't reach out to someone and leave them. Get really to know them. Set a day for, let's meet over a meal. Let's meet over a coffee. Let's meet over something. Let them just say, it's good to meet you. What's your name? What's your name? And go, what about exchanging a number? How about that? Yeah. What happened to that? We don't do that as much. Let's meet. Let's have a conversation. We're too busy. If you're too busy to have time for God and for people, you're too busy. You need to get a pause button going on here. Amen. God bless you. Have a good time.